This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 208, The Mother-in-Law-Daughter-in-Law Connection with special guest Leanne Austin.
Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Building Resilience Podcast. Today, we have a special guest on, and she is going to talk with us about the sometimes complicated relationship between mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. So just to tell you a little bit about her, Leanne is a master certified life coach and teacher. She helps women create more fun and connection in their relationship with themselves, others, and especially their daughter-in-law. She loves exploring the daughter-in-law and mother-in-law relationship to teach and learn from. And she has a podcast and a book called Loving My Daughter-in-Law. She also has a membership called The Connection Crew and a one-on-one coaching and hybrid program where she helps people show up as themselves and create more connection and fun with their crew. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Hello, Leanne. I am so happy to have you here. And I already gave a formal introduction, but I like to have people get to hear from your own voice who you are and what you do and what you're up to. So please take it away.
Thank you so much, Leah. I'm so happy to be here with you. And I love connecting with Leah. So anyway, I live in Georgia with my husband and my dog. And we have four adult sons, two daughters-in-law, and a grandson. So I just love to eat smoked meat and veggies. That's one of my favorites. I love to be outside. I love to exercise. I love watching The Chosen. That's probably one of my favorite shows. And I just love to hang out with family and friends. And for my business, I just love exploring the daughter-in-law and the mother-in-law relationship because I think that is just packed full of information and things for us to learn from. So I have a podcast and a book called Love of My Daughter-in-Law that talks all about that.
I love it. And that is why I brought you on today, because I wanted to talk about that. But I need to go back to the smoked meat.
I love it. Yes.
I'm not sure if it's different. So I grew up in Montreal in Quebec, and have you heard famous Montreal smoked meat?
No. Oh, I didn't know anything about that.
Yes. So I'm not sure if it's the exact same kind. I know it sounds really ignorant that I'm saying this on the podcast too, but Montreal smoked meat is a thing. And there is a very specific place that you go to. Schwartz's is what it's called. There's other places that have really good smoked meat. And I'm wondering if it's the exact same thing because it's smoked meat. It's almost like a pastrami.
I want to come try it because my husband started smoking at like, I don't know, 8, 10-ish years ago, like pork, brisket, everything like he smokes and it's so good. But now you've got me curious about out there.
I'm going to have to look up to see what could be comparable. I think maybe brisket is. So you're talking in general, all smoked meats, but I'm going to let everybody know that in Montreal, there is some, if you go somewhere and you ask for smoked meat, it's an actual type of meat. I think it is probably like a brisket. It is so delicious. It is like served like stacked high, like 2 inches high, very thinly cut. You serve it with just a little bit of mustard on rye bread. And the rye bread is usually like warmed up so it can be melt in your mouth. I believe I've had it in New York too. So it may be a New York thing.
Okay.
Anyhow, we will have to go further on that, but let's get back to it. And I'll use a segue. I have a daughter-in-law who lives in New York, so she'll have to talk with me. I am fascinated with obviously the relationship of mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, having four boys myself and one stepdaughter. So I have two biological boys, two stepboys. So I have daughter-in-laws, and the curious thing for me and still is, will there be a difference with my daughter-in-laws married to my biological boys and my stepdaughter-in-laws? So far, I have one stepdaughter-in-law and one daughter-in-law, and I don't see a difference at all, which just makes my heart feel so good because it's hard, the whole blended thing, and I'm like, oh, it's nice that we can put it all to rest. And I've been blessed with two really great daughter-in-laws.
Oh.
But I know it's a challenge, and I don't know if it is something that we're doing in our relationship. I'm not sure because, you know, over the years, I've done a lot of work on myself to be able to just accept relationships. So I want to hear from you. Why do so many people, because it's a taboo thing. I hear it all
the time.
Like, oh, my mother-in-law. And I joke with my daughter-in-laws. I'm like, trust me, I hear a lot. Oh, my daughter-in-law. Why is it such a taboo thing? And let's explore that.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, there's a few things. I think just basic differences in family and upbringing and traditions that we, you know, they may have had and we may have, or how they communicate or how they handle conflict or whatever comes up. I think that can be something that really brings a lot to the table, as well as like the expectations versus what really is. Because as a mother-in-law, we have certain expectations for who we think our son should marry and be with and how they should behave. And when they're not, it's like, wait a minute, what is going on? And that can create a lot of stuff. And some are even like, oh my goodness, this girl, she took away my son. She has taken her away. So that's another thing. Like, really? She took him away? You know, so it's just interesting to explore.
I can see all those things, actually. I can see the expectation piece. I know that for me, one of the things as, you know, I have my two boys who are married, one of the things I was looking out for as the mother-in-law, the poor future daughter-in-laws, but I was really looking out for what they kind of bring out in my son, what they are like around my son. And believe it or not, I want to see that they can stand up, that they have their own life, their own ambition, their own everything. And I'm putting all these biases out there so you can coach me through them. But I don't want to see either my son or my daughter-in-laws having to sacrifice who they want to be in order to be in the relationship. Like, I want them both to feel like they can flourish. And what I can say about my two daughter-in-laws now is that's exactly, I see them both sort of bloom themselves and be super supportive in helping my sons bloom.
I love that. And that's not always the case for a lot of relationships like that.
Yeah. Because I think you're right, that is not always the case. And when you said this idea of, you know, the daughter-in-law stealing the son away, I think that's been my fear. I mean, from the moment I had boys, part of my thought was, oh no, they're going to leave me. Which is not healthy to start with. Not that we want our daughters, but traditionally, I've also seen like exposure. I saw like having a brother, and I've seen like my friends having sons. There is a tendency to
go to that
girl's family.
Yeah. And I think as mother-in-laws in that situation, when we can just be like, yeah, and it makes sense. I mean, that's how they grew up. That's what they do. And if we're not so pushing against it and open to, okay, yeah, they may do more things with their family. Understandable. That's what they're used to. And how can we facilitate a space with fun and love and connection that when they do choose to do things with us and our family as well, it's okay. It's not always finding everything that's wrong, you know?
Yeah. And I think having that, trying to have that balance, that's what I'm always trying to be cognizant. I know like this year, all our kids are coming home except for one. He's going to his wife's family. And of course we're going to miss them. And of course we want them with us. Mm-hmm. But of course she needs to spend that time with the holidays. I love that they have chosen to rotate. So they rotate Christmas. They come back and forth because I do feel that that does provide some of the balance, which does make it easier for me to accept when they're not around because I'm like, well, you know, it's not our turn. It's their turn. Mm-hmm. And as our family, we decided in February, we're getting together with all of our kids this year. So when they're not around, how can I still make it attractive for them to all come?
That's right. Well, and especially with holidays, I mean, some people like, wait, they've got to be here this time because they were over at her house last time or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think, too, I mean, sometimes women can lessen that a little bit, that maybe it's okay, even if she does spend more time at the holidays, that we do these other activities like you're doing in February or whatever, where we still get to connect. And it's all right that it's not necessarily on that particular holiday.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think that's important of being that flexible. Well, when else can we celebrate? It doesn't necessarily, especially if we've had certain traditions. And I can see it's hard.
Yes.
Feel like I have certain traditions. My kids have been raised with certain traditions. What are you doing changing my traditions?
Yes. You're messing this up.
Exactly. That's right.
I think, too, just the tradition thing, also being open to the daughter-in-law's traditions. What mm-hmm. does she do? I mean, yes, you can keep your own, and we may need to tweak them and be flexible, but is there anything that she's used to doing that we may want to include as we're growing our family and just creating new things? So that's mm-hmm. something to think about as well.
Yeah.
So,
any other reasons why you think it's such a tricky relationship?
I think those are the main ones. I mean, once in a while, I'll hear a client say, well, she's just doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. Like as if there's a right or wrong way to do things. Wait a second. Maybe it's just different than I know. It's not necessarily wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Any thoughts on just the female dynamic? That is something that I was always wondering as my kids were growing up. I used to joke with my stepdaughter because we'd say, like, there's going to be potentially four other females coming into our family. Mm-hmm. All kinds of drama that's going to create. Do you think that that's a factor that females have more drama? That's a huge generalization and a huge label. So I'm opening a can of worms, but
especially for me, because you're talking to a girl who has just boys and who grew up with just brothers. So I'm used to a lot of guys, not a lot of girls. And of course, I have friends and things like that. And it's interesting. There definitely is a difference. And yes, there could be some more drama. And just my cute daughters-in-law, just seeing how different they are and how they talk and things like that and how we've evolved over the past 7, 8 years, whatever it's been. It is different. But I don't know that I go. It's just different.
Yeah. So what I have concluded is it's just different personalities.
Yes.
And when you have 100%. A lot of personalities in the mix, there is going to be some drama. Maybe it's behind the scenes drama. Maybe it's upfront drama. But when you have a lot of people with a lot of, I have a family that we have seem to have all very strong personalities. And so the more you add to the mix, the more that can get stirred up. I don't necessarily mind drama because I think it also adds a little bit of pizzazz. And I'm not talking about like extreme drama.
But
So let's look at it this way. What are the things that we can be doing as mother-in-laws?
Mm-hmm.
And are there things that daughter-in-laws can be doing? So what are both sides can be doing to help nurture the relationships?
Yeah, I love that question. My very favorite quote is, you either love someone or you don't understand them.
Mm.
Because whenever I'm not feeling love, either for my mother-in-law or for my daughters-in-law, if I'm not feeling that love, then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm missing something here. There's something that I'm not understanding. they're looking at this through a whole different perspective or something. And if I notice myself just getting really angry or upset about something, it's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm not feeling the love, which we don't have to feel love all the time, but it's like, well, what am I not understanding? So that's a big one for me. We all have repair and rupture in all our relationships. It's not uncommon for us to be upset with our daughter-in-law or our mother-in-law. So remembering that, I mean, no relationship is like, quote, perfect per se. But I think just noticing that and being like, okay, what am I not understanding? How can I just open up a little bit more to seeing from their point of view, their perspective?
Yeah, I love that. So, I love that, that just seeking to understand. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And then another thing I think too is just experimenting with it. I mean, you have these new people in your world. I mean, they may have been in your world for a long time, but if you're just getting a new daughter-in-law or whatever, they're new people, new connections, new relationships with them, and just experimenting with it. Like, instead of, nothing's working, she won't text me, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, wait a second. What if I try just sending her a text? Or what if I, how can I just experiment with this and not completely drop the expectations, but lower them so it's not like thinking that it has to be a certain way and just kind of playing with it like we do other things and not making it mean so much about us, you know?
Yeah, a lower barrier to entry and also finding those explanations in compassion, meaning like if somebody doesn't text you back, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're mad at you or they're annoyed at you or something like that, that we can choose to create whatever meaning we want to create from their behaviors as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And then one other thing, and I think both of us love this word, is just connection. It's the connection. And I think talking about both relationships, I really think the connection starts with ourselves and connecting with us, because when we're connecting with us, it makes it so much easier to connect with our daughter-in-law or to connect with our mother-in-law, because the good old oxygen mask on the airplane, we've got to take care of us. And I think being in your nervous system resilience, all of that, that is really cementing that so much more for me, that that connection with ourselves, and there's so many ways to do that, makes a huge, huge difference in our relationship with our daughter-in-law or our mother-in-law or anyone that we care about.
Yeah, I definitely think learning about your nervous system, befriending your nervous system, I say this all the time, it changes every relationship that you have. It changes your relationship with yourself, and it changes the relationships with the people around you. Because if your goal is to try to be more regulated, befriending your nervous system, you end up operating from a place of connection as opposed to the place of protection. Instead of getting angry or getting upset with maybe something that your daughter-in-law has said or done, when we're angry and we're upset, we're dysregulated. Now, it doesn't mean that those feelings aren't real and that we don't have every right to feel them and express the feelings, but it's really more about, can I feel those feelings within a safe place where it doesn't hijack me into behaviors that I don't want to be using? I can still have those harder emotions and feel those emotions, but it can be presented in a way that is going to be much more, you know, healthy and nurturing for me.
100%. Yeah. Because really, like 7-8 years ago, I didn't even know what a feeling was.
Yeah.
So, you know, really understanding feelings and then being in your connections and the whole nervous system, learning like, what's a vagus nerve? All of that kind of stuff. Like, how much is happening in my body versus in my brain? And I mean, there is so much gold in there that really helps us in how we're showing up in our relationships when we can really learn to regulate ourselves. And it's fascinating to me. I love it so much.
Well, my secret take-home message of every single episode is you need to learn how to befriend your nervous system. Because
yes.
It is at 100%. The root of everything.
It is.
And I do think that, though, a much more regulated nervous system, we have an easier time connecting with every relationship. It doesn't matter if it's the relationship with our child or the relationship with an in-law or with our partner or with anybody. It all does start with our ability to understand what's going on in our body. What are we seeing as danger versus safety here? And I think that just by nature of society, the word daughter-in-law and the word mother-in-law has been tagged as danger. Mm-hmm. You know how I always say the nervous system is tagging everything, safety, danger, and daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, and let's not even go into the stepmother, what that has been tagged. That has been tagged as wicked. But we even see it like in Hollywood. You see it in all the movies. And that feeds us to believe that right off the bat, we're a little bit on edge about having a relationship like that. And so as we learn to befriend our nervous system, as we learn to start identifying, calm ourselves down, we can bring our CEO on board. She can look and she can be like, my daughter-in-law is pretty great, or my mother-in-law is pretty great.
Yes.
And then you can start establishing your relationship from there.
Oh, that is so true. And then we're intentional about it because we have that love and compassion for ourselves. And we're looking for that in our daughter-in-law or in our mother-in-law, which they are amazing. I mean, I too am blessed with the two of the most incredible daughters-in-law and more coming possibly. And it is such a blessing and a choice for us when we just choose to love them and appreciate, hey, if our son loves them, there must be something about them. And that's a helpful reminder too. Wait a minute. You know, if my son loves her, then how can I love her? What does he see in her that I may be missing?
Oh, I love that. I've thought about that. And I've thought about it in the opposite ways. I remember having a conversation with a family member and talking about it goes both ways. That when I look at my partner, so say I'll use Rob as an example. And because his mom has passed away. So I can say whatever I want to say. No, she was wonderful. But there were the mother-in-law, daughter-in-law things. But I often reminded myself, I am married to an incredible man, that this woman had a very strong role in raising. Not everything, but she certainly had a role. So even when we had our bumps and our ups and downs, I liked reminding myself of, you know what, if it weren't for her. And so I do think it goes both ways. If I love my son and my son is loving this woman, then I can see that too. And then likewise, I'm sure that if you love your husband, you love your partner, well, there must be something about the mother-in-law that 100%. Had some type of role. You know, I do want to be cautious with nature versus nurture, and there's lots of sensitivities and lots of different things, but just trying to see things from different lenses
helps
those relationships.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for chatting about this. Is there any final words, or where can people find you, listen to you, hear more from you?
Well, thank you so much. Final words, I have an equation that I created. Love equals connection plus fun.
Oh.
And I love just remembering the connection and the fun that we create with our daughter-in-law, our mother-in-law, our son, whoever, really can make a difference. And so just remembering that. And then also, I have a connection blueprint, which is just a guide that gives you three simple steps to transform the connection that you have with yourself and others. That you can, and then also the one question. If you're like, wait, Leanne, my daughter-in-law, I'm walking on eggshells around her, you know, I can't be myself at family gatherings, then get my one question and you can just get that on my website, leanneaustin.com, and then my podcast and my book, Love and My Daughter-in-Law. So
I love it. I love it. So many resources. I'm very curious about this one question.
Yes, it is. It is gold. And I use it all the time and my clients use it. And it's just one question that you can, even when you're thinking about them, that really can change everything with your relationship. Like right now, even if you're not talking to them or whatever at the time, it's something for you to think about. So be sure to grab that question.
Yeah, so definitely. I'm going to go get that too. Because I think curiosity, and the more we can be curious about the people in our lives, curious about what their life is like, what their experience is like, what their passions, their desires, their fears are, the more curious we can be, the more connection we do create. So I'm curious about this question. So. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leah. A pleasure.
Good one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.